among the colored people.
Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:38. Chapter, A Call for Colored Laborers. Most decided efforts should be made to educate and train colored men and women to labor as missionaries in the southern states of America. Christian colored students should be preparing to give the truth to their own race. Those who make the fear of the Lord the beginning of their wisdom and give heed to the counsel of men of experience can be a great blessing to the Negro race by carrying to their own people the light of present truth. Every worker laboring in humility and in harmony with his brethren will be a channel of light to many who are now in the darkness of ignorance and superstition. Instead of wondering whether they are not fitted to labor for white people, let our colored brethren and sisters devote themselves to missionary work among the colored people. There is an abundance of room for intelligent colored men and women to labor for their own people. Much work remains to be done in the southern field. Special efforts are to be made in the large cities. In each of these cities, there are thousands of colored people to whom the last warning message of mercy must be given. Let the missionary spirit be awakened in the hearts of our colored church members. Let earnest work be done for those who know not the truth. To every colored brother and sister, I would say, look at the situation as it is. Ask yourself, in view of the opportunities and advantages granted me, how much do I owe to my Lord? How can I best glorify Him and promote the interests of my people? How can I use to the best advantage the knowledge God has been pleased to give me? Should I not open my Bible and teach the truth to my people? Are not there not thousands perishing for lack of knowledge, whom I can help if I submit myself to God so that He can use me as His instrument? Have I not a work to do for my oppressed, discouraged fellows? The southern field is suffering for workers. Will you pass by your people making an effort to help them? Or will you, with a humble heart, work to save the perishing? There is a work you can do if you will humble yourself before God. Trusting in Him, you will find peace and comfort. But following your own way and your own will, you will find thorns and thistles, and you will lose the reward. Time is short, and what you do must be done quickly. Resolve to redeem the time. Seek not your own pleasure. Rouse yourself. Take hold of the work with a new purpose of heart. The Lord will open the way before you. Make every possible effort to work in Christ's lines, in meekness and lowliness, relying upon Him for strength. Understand the work the Lord gives you to do, and trusting in God, you will be enabled to go on from strength to strength, from grace to grace. You will be enabled to work diligently and perseveringly for your people while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man shall work. There is the greatest need for all kinds of missionary work in the South. Without delay, workers must be prepared for this field. Our people should provide a fund for the education of young men and women in the southern states who, being accustomed to the climate, can work there without endangering their health. Promising young men and young women should be educated to become teachers. They should have the very best advantages. Schoolhouses and meeting houses should be built in different places and teachers employed. Those who for years have been working to help the colored people are well fitted to give counsel in regard to the opening of such schools. So as far as possible, these schools should be established outside the cities. But in the cities there are many children who could not attend schools away from the cities. And for the benefit of these, schools should be opened in the cities as well as in the country. The children and youth in these schools are to be taught something more than merely how to read. Industrial lines of work are to be carried forward. The students are to be provided with facilities for learning trades that will enable them to support themselves. Our churches in the North, as well as in the South, should do what they can to help support the schoolwork for the colored children. The schools already established should be faithfully maintained. The establishment of new schools will require additional funds. Let all our brethren and sisters do their part wholeheartedly to place these schools on vantage ground. In addition to engaging in this line of schoolwork, our colored brethren may do good work by establishing mission Sunday schools and Sabbath schools among their own people. schools in which the youth may be taught by teachers whose hearts are filled with love for souls. Opportunities are continually pressing themselves in the southern states, and many wise Christian colored men will be called to the work. But for several reasons, white men must be chosen as leaders. We are all members of one body and are complete only in Christ Jesus, who will uplift His people from the low level to which sin has degraded them, and will place them where they will be acknowledged in the heavenly courts as laborers together with God. There is a work to be done in many hard places, and out of these hard places, bright laborers are to come. Let the work be managed so that the colored laborers will be educated to work for their own race. Among the Negro race, there are many who have talent and ability. Let us search out these men and women and teach them how to engage in the work of saving souls. God will cooperate with them and give them their victory. Laborers together with God. The ear of the Lord is open to the cries of those who are in His service. He has promised, I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. Walk humbly with God and ask Him to make your course of duty plain. When He speaks to His representatives and asks them to be laborers together with Him, they will do the same kind of work that Jesus announced as His work when He stood up to read in the synagogue of Nazareth. He opened the book of the prophet Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Isaiah 61:1. The truth is now overcast in a world by clouds of error that prevail. He who can influence even the most lowly and can win them to Christ is cooperating with divine agencies and seeking to save that which is lost. In presenting to the sinner a personal sin-pardoning Savior, we can reach a hand of sympathy and Christ-like love to grasp the hand of one fallen, and laying hold of the hand of Christ by faith, we form a link of union between the sinner and the Savior. The end is near, and every soul is now to walk carefully, humbly, meekly with Christ Jesus, our precious Savior, from whom all the rays of truth radiate to the world, wants us to put not our trust in princes nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help, but to lean wholly upon Him. He says, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15:5. We need to look to Jesus constantly in order that He may impress upon us His own lovely image. We are to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Then we shall reveal Christ to our fellow men. Proclaiming the truth where there is race antagonism. I am burdened, heavily burdened, for the work among the colored people. The gospel is to be presented to the downtrodden Negro race, but great caution will have to be shown in the efforts put forth for the uplifting of this people. Among the white people in many places there exists a strong prejudice against the Negro race. We may desire to ignore this prejudice, but we cannot do it. If we were to act as if this prejudice did not exist, we could not get the light before the white people. We must meet the situation as it is and deal with it wisely and intelligently. For many years I have borne a heavy burden in behalf of the Negro race. My heart has ached as I have seen this feeling against this race growing stronger and still stronger, and as I have seen that many Seventh-day Adventists are apparently unable to understand the necessity for an earnest work being done quickly. Years are passing into eternity with apparently little done to help those who were recently a race of slaves. One of the difficulties attending the work is that many of the white people living where the colored people are numerous are not willing that special efforts should be put forth to uplift them. When they see schools established for them, when they see them being taught to be self-supporting, to follow trades, to provide themselves with comfortable homes, instead of continuing to live in hovels, they see the possibility that selfish plans will be interfered with, that they will no longer be able to hire the Negro for a mere pittance, and their enmity is aroused. They feel that they are injured and abused. Some act as if slavery had never been abolished. This spirit is growing stronger as the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from the world, and in many places it is impossible now to do that work which could have been done for the colored people in past years. Much might have been accomplished by the people of America if adequate efforts in behalf of the freemen had been put forth by the government and by the Christian churches immediately after the emancipation of the slaves. Money should have been used freely to care for and educate them at the time they were so greatly in need of help. But the government, after a little effort, left the Negro to struggle, unaided, with his burden of difficulties. Some of the strong Christian churches began a good work, but sadly failed to reach more than a comparatively few, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church has failed to act its part. Some persevering efforts have been put forth by individuals and by societies to uplift the colored people, and a noble work has been done, but how few have had a part in this work, which should have had the sympathy and help of all. Noble efforts have been put forth by some Seventh-day Adventists to do the work that needed to be done for the colored people. Had those who were engaged in this work received the cooperation of all their ministering brethren, the result of their work would now be altogether different from what it is. But the great majority of our ministers did not cooperate, as they should have done, with the few who were struggling to carry forward a much-needed work in a difficult field. As time advances and opposition strengthens, circumstances warn us that discretion is the better part of valor. If unwise moves have been made in the work done for the colored people, it is not because warnings have not been given. From Australia, across the broad waters of the Pacific, cautions were sent that every movement must be guarded, that the workers were to make no political speeches, and that the mingling of whites and blacks and social equality was by no means to be encouraged. In a meeting held in 1895 at Armadale, a suburb of Melbourne, Victoria, I spoke of these matters in answer to the inquiries of my brethren and urged the necessity of caution. I said that perilous times were coming, and that the sentiments that could then be expressed in regard to what should be done along missionary lines for the colored people could not be expressed in the future without imperiling lives. I said plainly that the work done for the colored people would have to be carried on along lines different from those followed in some sections of the country in former years. Let as little as possible be said about the color line, and let the colored people work chiefly for those of their own race. In regard to white and colored people worshiping in the same building, this cannot be followed as a general custom with profit to either party, especially in the South. The best thing will be to provide the colored people who accept the truth with places of worship of their own in which they can carry their services by themselves. This is particularly necessary in the South in order that the work for the white people may be carried on without serious hindrance. Let the colored believers be provided with neat, tasteful houses of worship. Let them be shown that this is done not to exclude them from worshiping with white people because they are black, but in order that the progress of the truth may be advanced. Let them understand that this plan is to be followed until the Lord shows us a better way. The colored members of ability and experience should be encouraged to lead the services of their own people, and their voices are to be heard in the representative assemblies. Among the colored believers, there are many who can labor to the advantage for their own people, workers to whom the Lord has given light and knowledge, and who possess capabilities of no mean order. These are to labor perseveringly and in every effective way. They are to use our literature and hold tent meetings and meeting in halls. And sometimes, where it is permissible, white ministers should help them. Special efforts should be made to increase the force of colored workers. Colored men are to be thoroughly educated and trained to give Bible readings and hold tent meetings among their own people. There are many having capability who should be prepared for this work. We should be deeply interested in the establishment of schools for the colored people, and we must not overlook the importance of placing the present truth before the teachers and students in the large colleges for colored people that have been established by men of the world. Schools and sanitariums for colored people should be established, and in these the colored youth should be taught and trained for service by the very best teachers that can be employed. The colored ministers should make every effort possible to help their own people to understand the truth at this time. As time advances and race prejudices increase, it will become almost impossible in many places for the white workers to labor for the colored people. Sometimes the white people who are not in sympathy with our work will unite with colored people to oppose it, claiming that our teaching is an effort to break up churches and bring in trouble over the Sabbath question. White ministers and colored ministers will make false statements, arousing in the minds of the people such a feeling of antagonism that they will be ready to destroy and to kill. The powers of hell are working with all their ingenuity to prevent the proclamation of the last message of mercy among the colored people. Satan is working to make it most difficult for the gospel minister and teacher to ignore the prejudice that exists between the white and colored people. Let us follow the course of wisdom. Let us do nothing that will unnecessarily arouse opposition, nothing that will hinder the proclamation of the gospel message. Where demanded by custom or where greater efficiency is to be gained, let the white believers and the colored believers assemble in separate places of worship. Let us cultivate the meekness of Christ. He was the majesty of heaven, the only begotten Son of God. Yet God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. If to save a perishing world, God could condescend to give His Son to a painful, ignominious death, should not the Lord's missionaries be willing to make every effort in their power to win and help those who are in the depths of sin, and to flash the light upon those who are in darkness as to what is truth? Christ clothed His divinity with humanity that He might reach down and uplift fallen beings. Shall not His followers, for His sake, be willing to submit to many things unjust and grievous to be borne in order to help the very ones who need help? Let the work be done in a way that will not arouse prejudice, which would close doors now open for the entrance of the truth. The men of talent among the colored believers are to be laborers together with God for their own people. And yet there will sometimes be opportunities for them to bear testimony in tent meetings and in large assemblies which will reach many, many souls. These opportunities will appear as the southern field is worked and the loud cry is given. When the Holy Spirit is poured out, there will be a triumph of humanity over prejudice in seeking the salvation of the souls of human beings. God will control minds. Human hearts will love as Christ loved. And the color line will be regarded by very many very differently from the way in which it is now regarded. To love as Christ loves lifts the mind into a pure, heavenly, unselfish atmosphere. He who is closely connected with Christ is lifted above the prejudice of color or caste. His faith takes hold of eternal realities. The divine author of truth is to be uplifted. Our hearts are to be filled with a faith that works by love and purifies the soul. The work of the Good Samaritan is the example that we are to follow. We are not to agitate the color line and thus arouse prejudice and bring about a crisis. The light of the third angel's message is to be given to those who need light. We are to labor calmly, quietly, faithfully, trusting in our elder brother. We are not to be in haste to divine the exact course to be pursued in the future concerning the relation to be maintained between white and colored people. The truth for this time is to be proclaimed before thousands of people in the southern states. The way is to be cleared as far as possible of all obstruction. Let the gospel message be given to the people. Let white and colored people be labored for in separate distinct lines, and let the Lord take care of the rest. The truth must come before the white men and women in the southern states. Then there will be a work done in their families that will lead to the salvation of many souls. In all wisdom and prudence, while men are trying to settle the question of the color line, time rolls on and souls go down into the grave unwarned and unsaved. Let this condition of things continue no longer. Let men and women go to work and let them labor as the Spirit of God shall impress their minds. We need the talent of the colored believers, every jot of it, in this work. Let colored workers labor for their own people, assisted by white workers as occasion demands. They will often need counsel and advice. Let the colored believers have their place of worship and the white believers their place of worship. Let each company be zealous to do genuine missionary work for its own people and for the colored people wherever and whenever they can. When the truth has been presented in a place and as many white people as will hear and believe have accepted the truth, Opportunities will sometimes appear for efforts to be made in a quiet, unobtrusive manner by white laborers for the colored people. Such opportunities should not be overlooked. But we must not necessarily arouse prejudice that would close the way against the proclamation of the third angel's message to the white people. They need this message, for a time of trouble is before us such as never was since there was a nation. Great care must be exercised that nothing be said or done to inflame the feelings of the colored people against the whites. Let us not aggravate the difficulties that already exist. However wisely the workers labor, they will have opposition to meet without creating an agitation over the color line. Let us clear the king's highway. Let God have a chance to work. Let men keep out of his way. He will plan and manage better than human beings possibly can. Let us remember that our first great work is to preach the Word of God, to give the warnings of the Bible. The Lord calls upon all to take up the work in humility of mind. The ministers are not all sanctified through the truth. The Lord calls upon all to lay down their controversies. Let men beware of doing that which would cut off our last hope of entering difficult fields where there is race, prejudice, and antagonism as a means of overcoming prejudice and gaining access to minds. Medical missionary work must be done not in one or two places only, but in many places where the truth has not yet been proclaimed. We are to work as gospel medical missionaries to heal the sin-sick souls by giving them the message of salvation. This work will break down prejudice as nothing else can. The Sabbath. The Sabbath question is one that will demand great care and wisdom in its presentation. Much of the grace and power of God will be needed to cast down the idol that has been erected in the shape of a false Sabbath. Lift up the standard, lift it up higher and still higher. Point the people to the 20th chapter of Exodus, in which the law of God is recorded. The first four of the Ten Commandments outline our duty to our Maker. He who is false to his God cannot be true to his neighbor. He who loves God supremely will love his neighbor as himself. Pride lifts itself up unto vanity, leading the human agent to make a god of himself. The gospel of Christ sanctifies the soul, expelling self-love. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 28. The Sabbath was instituted in Eden after God had created the world. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Genesis 2:1-3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Exodus 31:12-16. October 19, 1908. The Color Line. I have some things to say in regard to the colored people of the southern states of America and the relation that we should sustain to them. So long as they were under the curse of slavery, that it is a difficult problem to know how they should now be treated. When God's workers allow His Spirit to work upon their minds, much will be accomplished in the saving of souls. The Lord is our helper. He will guide us in all matters if we will trust in Him. One thing is certain, we must have faith in God, faith that He will arrange matters in a way that will enable us to work successfully. No one ever trusted God in vain. He will never disappoint those who put their trust in Him. We are to avoid entering into contention over the problem of the color line. If this question is much agitated, difficulties will arise that will consume much precious time to adjust. We cannot lay down a definite line to be followed in dealing with this subject. in different places and under varying circumstances, the subject will need to be handled differently. In the South, where race prejudice is so strong, we could do nothing in presenting the truth were we to deal with the color line question as we can deal with it in some places in the North. The white workers in the South will have to move in a way that will enable them to gain access to the white people. It is Satan's plan to call minds to the study of the color line. If his suggestions are heeded, there will be diversity of opinion and great confusion. No one is capable of clearly defining the proper position of the colored people. Men may advance theories, but I assure you that it will not do for us to follow human theories. So far as possible, the color line question should be allowed to rest. The cities of the South are to be worked, and for this work the best talent is to be secured, and that without delay. Let white workers labor for the white people, proclaiming the message of present truth in its simplicity. They will find openings through which they may reach the higher class. Every opportunity for reaching this class is to be improved. Let colored workers do what they can to keep abreast, working earnestly for their own people. I thank God that among the colored believers there are men of talent who can work efficiently for their own people, presenting the truth in clear lines. There are many colored people of precious talent who will be converted to the truth if our colored ministers are wise in devising ways of training teachers for the schools and other laborers for the field. The colored people should not urge that they be placed on an equality with white people. The relation of the two races has been a matter hard to deal with, and I fear that it will ever remain a most perplexing problem. So far as possible, everything that would stir up the race prejudice of the white people should be avoided. There is danger of closing the door so that our white laborers will not be able to work in some places in the South. I know that if we attempt to meet the ideas and preferences of some of the colored people, we shall find our way blocked completely. The work of proclaiming the truth for this time is not to be hindered by an effort to adjust the position of the Negro race. Should we attempt to do this, we should find that barriers like mountains would be raised to hinder the work that God desires to have done. If we move quietly and judiciously, laboring in the way that God has marked out, both white and colored people will be benefited by our labors. The time has not come for us to work as if there were no prejudice. Christ said, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Matthew 10:16. If you see that by doing certain things, which you have a perfect right to do, you hinder the advancement of God's work, refrain from doing these things. Do nothing that will close the minds of others against the truth. There is a world to save, and we shall gain nothing by cutting loose from those we are trying to help. All things may be lawful, but all things are not expedient. The wise course is the best. As laborers together with God, we are to work in a way that will enable us to accomplish the most for Him. Let none go to extremes. We need wisdom from above, for we have a difficult problem to solve. If rash moves are made now, great mischief will be done. The matter is to be presented in such a way that the truly converted colored people will cling to the truth for Christ's sake, refusing to renounce one principle of sound Bible doctrine because they may think that the very best course is not being pursued toward the Negro race. We must sit as learners at the feet of Christ, that He may teach us the will of God and that we may know how to work for the white people and the colored people in the southern field. We are to do as the Spirit of the Lord shall dictate and agitate the subject of the color line as little as possible. We must use every energy to present the closing gospel message to all classes in the South. As we are led and controlled by the Spirit of God, we shall find that this question will adjust itself in the minds of our people. Let us individually seek the Lord. Let those whose religious experience in the past has been only surface work draw near to God. Repent, repent, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When we are prepared to take hold of the work in earnest, we shall be better able than we are now to deal with the questions involved in this work. Let every believer do his best to prepare the way for the gospel missionary work that is to be done. But let no one enter into controversy. It is Satan's object to keep Christians occupied in controversies among themselves. He knows that if they do not watch, the day of the Lord will come on them as a thief in the night. We have no time now to give place to the spirit of the enemy and to cherish prejudices that confuse the judgment and lead us away from Christ. It will take money and earnest, persevering effort to do that which needs to be done among the colored people. Every man needs now to stand in his lot and place, confessing and forsaking his sins, and working in harmony with his brethren. God's workers are to be of one mind and one heart, praying for the impartation of the Spirit, and believing that God will fulfill His word. A lesson from Christ's labors. On one occasion, while Christ was in the midst of His work of teaching and healing, one of the company assembled about Him said, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Luke 12:13. This man had witnessed Christ's wonderful works. He had been astonished at the clearness of his comprehension, his superior judgment, and the fairness with which he viewed the cases brought to him. He heard Christ's stirring appeals and his solemn denunciations of the scribes and Pharisees. If words of such command could be spoken to his brother, he would not dare to refuse the aggrieved man his portion. He solicited Christ's influence on his side. "Speak to my brother," he said, "that he divide the inheritance with me." The Holy Spirit was pleading with this man to become an heir of the inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. He had seen evidence of the power of Christ. Now the opportunity was his to speak to the great teacher, to express the desire uppermost in his heart. But like the man with the muckrake in Bunyan's allegory, his eyes were fixed on the earth. He saw not the crown above his head. Like Simon Magus, he valued the gift of God as a means of worldly gain. The Savior's mission on earth was fast drawing to a close. Only a few months remained for him to complete what he came to do in establishing the kingdom of his grace. Yet human greed would have turned him from his work to take up the dispute over a piece of land. But Jesus was not to be diverted from his mission. His answer was, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Luke 12:14. Christ gave the man plainly to understand that this was not his work. He was striving to save souls. He was not to be turned aside from this to take up the duties of a civil magistrate. How often today labor is forced upon the church that should never be allowed to enter the work of the gospel ministry. Again and again, Christ had been asked to decide legal and political questions. But he refused to interfere in temporal matters. He knew that in the political world there were iniquitous proceedings and great tyranny. But here his only exposure of these was the proclamation of Bible truth. To the great multitudes that thronged his steps, he presented the pure, holy principles of the law of God and spoke of the blessings found in obeying these principles. With authority from on high, he enforced the importance of justice and mercy. But he refused to become entangled in personal disputes. Christ stood in our world as the head of the great spiritual kingdom that he came to our world to establish, the kingdom of righteousness. His teaching made plain the ennobling, sanctifying principles that govern his kingdom. He showed that justice and mercy and love are the controlling powers in Jehovah's kingdom. A time of preparation. We are living in the great antitypical day of atonement. We must individually seek God. This is a personal work. Let us draw near to God, allowing nothing to come into our efforts that would misrepresent the truth for this time. Let everyone confess not his brother's sin, but his own sin. Let him humble his heart before God and become so filled with the Holy Spirit that his life will show that he has been born again. We read, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." John 1:12. The gospel of Christ is to be lived, practiced in the daily life. The servants of God are to be cleansed from all coldness, all selfishness. Simplicity, meekness, lowliness are of great value in the work of God. Try to unite the workers in confidence and love. If you cannot do this, be right yourselves and leave the rest with God. Labor in faith and prayer. Select Christian youth and train them to be not workers with hearts like iron, but workers who are willing to harmonize. I pray that the Lord will change the hearts of those who, unless they receive more grace, will enter into temptation. I pray that He will soften and subdue every heart. We need to live in close fellowship with God, that we may love one another as Christ has loved us. It is by this that the world is to know that we are His disciples. Let there be no self-exaltation. If the workers will humble their hearts before God, the blessing will come. They will all the while be receiving fresh new ideas, and there will be a wonderful revival of gospel medical missionary work. The great work before us all as Christians is to extend Christ's kingdom as rapidly as possible in accordance with the divine commission. The gospel is to advance from conquest to conquest, from victory to victory. The greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, and they shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. The warfare before us. God's servants are to put on every piece of the Christian armor. We are not wrestling simply with human foes. God calls upon every Christian to enter the warfare and fight under His leadership, depending for success on the grace and help of heaven. We are to go forward in the strength of the Mighty One. Never are we to yield to Satan's attacks. Why should not we, as Christian warriors, stand against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world? God calls upon us to press forward using the gifts entrusted to us. Satan will place temptation before us. He will try to overcome us by stratagem. But in the strength of God, we are to stand firm as a rock to principle. See what happens when the... In this warfare, there is no release. Satan's agents never pause in their work of destruction. Those who are in Christ's service must watch every outpost. Our object is to save perishing souls from ruin. This is a work of infinite greatness, and man cannot hope to obtain success in it unless he unites with the divine worker. From eternity, Christ has been man's redeemer. Ever since the fall, there has come to those uniting with Him in His great work the word, "Be not weary in well-doing," 2 Thessalonians 3:12. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord," 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Christian is encouraged to show patient perseverance in carrying forward the work of the gospel ministry in connection with the medical missionary work. As he gains an experience in genuine religion, he obtains a spiritual knowledge that makes character. The life of a true Christian is one continuous round of service. We are laborers together with God. Every day brings to the one in God's service duties proportionate to his powers. His usefulness increases as, under the guidance of a supreme power, he performs these duties. The fulfillment of one duty makes us better prepared to take up another. Those who have a true sense of what is to be done will place themselves in the direct light of the Word of God in union with His other working forces. Every day, clothed with the whole armor, he will go forth into the battle. With prayer and watchfulness and perseverance, he will labor, determined that the close of his life work shall not find him unprepared, not having done all that he could for the salvation of perishing souls. If Christians were to act in concert, moving forward as one under the direction of one power for the accomplishment of one purpose, they would move the world. The principles that should actuate us as workers in God's cause are laid down by the Apostle Paul. He says, "We are laborers together with God," 1 Corinthians 3:9. "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men," Colossians 3:23. And Paul exhorts the believers, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ," 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. There are great laws that govern the world of nature, and spiritual things are controlled by principles equally certain. The means for an end must be employed if the desired results are to be attained. God has appointed to every man his work according to his ability. It is by education and practice that persons are to be qualified to meet any emergency which may arise. and wise planning is needed to place each one in his proper sphere that he may obtain an experience that will fit him to bear responsibility. God wants us to help one another by a manifestation of sympathy and unselfish love. There are those who have inherited peculiar tempers and dispositions. They may be hard to deal with, but are we faultless? They are not to be discouraged. Their errors are not to be made common property. Christ pities and helps those who err in judgment. He has suffered death for every man, and because of this, he has a touching and profound interest in every man. A man may be trying to serve God, but temptations from within and from without assail him. Satan and his angels urge and coax him to transgress. Perhaps he falls a prey to their temptings. How then do his brethren treat him? Do they speak harsh, cutting words, driving him farther from the Savior? What a sad sight for Christ and the angels to behold! Let us remember that we are struggling and falling, failing in speech and action to represent Christ, falling and rising again, despairing and hoping. Let us beware of dealing unkindly with those who, like ourselves, are subjects of temptation, and who, like ourselves, also are the objects of Christ's unfailing love. God deals with men as responsible beings. He will work by His Spirit through the mind He has put in man, if man will only give Him a chance to work and will recognize His dealings. He designs that each shall use his mind and conscience for himself. He does not intend that one man shall become the shadow of another, uttering only another's sentiments. Consideration for colored laborers. The religion of the Bible recognizes no caste or color. It ignores rank, wealth, worldly honor. God estimates men as men. With Him, character decides their worth, and we are to recognize the Spirit of Christ in whomsoever it is revealed. No one need be ashamed to speak with an honest black man in any place or to shake him by the hand. He who is living in the atmosphere in which Christ lives will be taught of God and will ever learn to put his estimate on men. Our colored ministers are to be treated with consideration. This has not always been done. These men are to be encouraged to obtain a thorough knowledge of the truth. They are to learn how to be efficient in teaching the truth to others. And when they are faithfully engaged in work, they should receive their hire. Remember that they must have bread. The Lord desires His people in the North to maintain a kindly attitude toward the colored brethren and sisters. We should not be hasty in finding fault with them. We cannot expect them to be in all respects like those who have enjoyed greater advantages. We should remember the disadvantages under which the colored people have lived. Far different from the surroundings of the white race have been their surroundings. The northern people have lived in a clearer, purer moral atmosphere than have the colored people of the South. We cannot expect that in all things they will be as firm and clear in their ideas of morality. Were Christ on earth today, He would teach the Negro race in a way that would surprise us. He calls upon us to remember that even those who have had great advantages in many things often feel hurt if their errors are unduly noticed and if words of counsel and admonition are spoken in an unsympathetic manner. When things of an objectionable nature take place among the colored people, remember that the Lord desires you to act with the wisdom of a faithful shepherd. Remember that kindness will accomplish more than censure. Let the colored brethren and sisters see that their brethren want them to reach the highest standard and that they are willing to help them. And if in some things the colored people fail, do not be quick to condemn them and separate them from the work. Exact and impartial justice is to be shown to the Negro race. Christ demands from His servants tender compassion for the suffering, sympathy for the unfortunate, and a generous consideration for misdemeanors. The poor are not to be excluded from the privilege of giving. They, as well as the wealthy, may act a part in this work. The lesson that Christ gave in regard to the widow's two mites shows us that the smallest willing offerings of the poor, if given from a heart of love, are as acceptable as the largest donations of the rich. In the balances of the sanctuary, the gifts of the poor made from love to Christ are not estimated according to the amount given, but according to the love which prompts the sacrifice. The needs of a mission field. For many years, the Lord has been keeping before His people the needs of the work among the colored people in the southern states of America. The moral darkness of this field is in itself a powerful plea for the exercise of liberality. In the past, some have done what they could to support this branch of our work, and their beneficence has borne fruit in the conversion of many souls. Although much remains to be done for the colored people, we have cause for rejoicing over the good beginning that has been made. In a recent number of the Gospel Herald, 1907, it is reported that 15 years ago there were not over 20 colored Seventh-day Adventists south of Mason and Dixon's line, but today there are 700. 12 years ago there was only one colored Seventh-day Adventist church. Today there are 50, not counting those in Africa and the West Indies. The tithe of the colored people last year in the United States amounted to $5,000. 15 years ago, it was not over $50. Let us thank God, dear brethren and sisters, and take courage. God is laying bare His arm to do a mighty work in this mission field within the borders of our own land. He is now giving His people unusual opportunities to extend the message rapidly in the South. Especially should we reveal a spirit of beneficence at the time the yearly offering for the support of the colored work is taken up. God has reposed confidence in us by making us stewards of means and of His rich grace, and He now points us to the poor and suffering and oppressed, to souls bound in chains of superstition and error, and assures us that if we do good to these, He will accept the deed as though done to Himself. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, He declares, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25:40. Thousands of colored people in the South may now be uplifted and become human agents to help their own race if they can receive the help God is calling upon us to give them. Multitudes of men and women in this field feel their deep poverty and their need of uplifting. And when faithful teachers shall come in to open to them the Scriptures just as they read, presenting truth in its native purity, the darkness will disappear. Bright beams of light will shine upon the soul searching for truth, and with those who have had advantages, a close and intelligent investigation will take place upon the subjects of truth revealed in the Scriptures. Many will be taught of God. They will learn aright from the great teacher, and will accept with joy the truths that will sanctify and uplift. The moral image of God will be restored in the soul, and many will be eternally saved. My dear brethren and sisters, Christ is now saying to you, lift up your eyes and look on this southern field, for it needs workers, sowers of the seed, and reapers. It needs your means for the maintenance of these workers. The grace of Christ is unlimited. It is God's free gift. Then why should not this neglected people have some hope and courage and faith brought into their lives? There is sunshine in the heart for all who will accept Christ. September 1907.